Well, that was certainly a night to remember. Remarkably, there was only one fatality. The lady chosen to be my successor. She was sitting directly underneath the chandelier when it fell. I have her epitaph here somewhere. It's from the following day's article in Le Temps. Ah, yes. 200 kilos on head of concierge. Brief, but accurate. More fame than the woman deserved, if you ask me. But ho-hum. There was an inquest, naturally, which returned a verdict of accidental death. Wear and tear to the chandelier cables, apparently. No mention was made of the opera ghost. Moncharmin and Richard prevented further publicity by means of a hefty bribe to the family of the concertina concierge. As you can imagine, the affair of the chandelier had considerable repercussions at the opera house. La Carlotta fell ill with the nerves, as she put it. I was reinstated in my former position, with double the salary. And Christine Daae disappeared and had to be replaced with an understudy. Raoul came to the stage door every day to ask after her. Raoul? Yes. I bet you thought I'd forgotten about him. We last saw him in that little graveyard at Perros, face to face with Christine's angel of music. Well, he didn't die. Like the brave, salt-hardened naval officer he was, he fainted. When he came to, it was morning, and there was no trace of either Angel or Christine. He made his way back to Paris and lay low for a few days. When he did finally venture out, it was to attend that fateful performance of Faust. So, we resume our tale with Christine missing and Raoul frantic with worry. In an attempt to locate her, Raoul paid a visit to Christine's erstwhile guardian, the bedridden Madame Valerius. Crippled though she was, she could still pack a punch. She had a surprise in store for Raoul. A big one.
The Phantom of the Opera by Gaston Leroux. Translated and dramatized by Barnaby Edwards. Episode 2.
You don't have to knock, Adele.
Sorry, ma'am.
And don't whisper. That's equally irritating.
Sorry, ma'am.
Well, what is it?
There's a Monsieur de Chagny to see you. Says it's urgent.
I think you'll find that Vicomte de Chagny.
Well, whoever he is, I told him you couldn't come down because your legs was useless. But he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Thank you, Adele. Perhaps you'd be so kind as to ask him to join me at my bedside.
All right. Mistress says you can come on up if you wanna.
Adele?
I mean, Madame Valerius would be delighted if you would join her in her bedchamber.
Better. You may leave us now.
Shall I shut the door?
Once Monsieur le Vicomte is inside the room, yes.
Mama Valerius, how are you?
Thank you, Adele. I'm fine, thank you, Raoul. My, how you've grown. Come and stand where I can see you. Well, well, quite the handsome naval officer. I can still remember you romping about in your little sailor suit, playing hide-and-seek with Christine.
I'm playing it still, madame. Where is she? Where is Christine?
Why, with her good genius.
Good genius?
The angel of music, of course.
You know about him?
Naturally.
Perhaps you would be so good as to tell me where this angel resides.
In heaven, of course, you silly boy. Don't you remember Christine's father speaking of him? When I die, my child, I shall send the angel of music to watch over you. Well, that's precisely what he's done. Don't you see? This good genius has been teaching Christine how to sing. That's why her voice has improved so much of late. I'm told she sang triumphantly at the gala performance.
How long has she known this genius?
About 3 months. He gives her lessons each morning in her dressing room. Well, there's no one about at 8 o'clock, you see, so fewer interruptions. And then each evening he takes her for a ride through the bois in his brougham.
His brougham? Since when did an angel drive a carriage? Thank you, Mama Valerius. I think I'll take a turn in the park myself tonight.
I hope you're not going to cause trouble. Christine told me all this in the strictest confidence. Raoul? Raoul!
Calm yourself, little brother. She'll be here soon.
Are you sure your man was correct, Philippe?
At 10 o'clock, on the dot, the black brougham containing Mademoiselle Christine Daae and her mysterious lover will round the corner of the Longchamp racetrack over there and make its way along this bridle path. Mm-hmm. It has done so the last 4 nights. I don't see why tonight should be any different.
What time is it now?
1 minute to 10.
Well, what shall I do when I see her? What shall I say?
You will do nothing. Say nothing. We're here only to see if we can get a glimpse of this mysterious genius of hers. I know a lot of people in Paris, Raoul. It is possible I shall recognize him.
He's holding Christine against her will. I'm certain of it.
And if he is not?
Shh! Coming!
Quickly! Behind the tree!
At the window! Look, it's Christine!
Now, remember, Raoul, now is not the time for rashness. Think first, act later.
Just stand by and watch the woman I love in the clutches of some faceless abductor.
Christine!
Raoul, no!
Christine, it's me, Raoul! Christine, come back! I love you!
She saw me, Philippe. She waved her handkerchief for help.
That wasn't a handkerchief, Raoul. It was a letter addressed to you. Whoever picks this up, please forward it to the Vicomte de Chagny 114...
Let me see that.
Dearest Raoul, there is a masked ball at the Opera House on Saturday evening. Meet me in the little side room next to the chimney at 12 o'clock sharp. Wear a white domino costume. I will be wearing the black. If you love me, you will not let yourself be recognized. It could prove disastrous for us both. Christine.
Champagne, my dear Monsieur Richard. Oh, forgive me. I mean, more champagne, Monsieur Faust.
Thank you, Monsieur Skeleton.
A glorious evening, wouldn't you say?
Positively bohemian.
Bohemian is the very word, Monsieur Richard. Monsieur Faust. It's the devils I like. Look at this fellow now. Scarlet robes, red velvet cape, and a death's head topped with scarlet feathers. That's what I call class.
Good evening, Monsieur Morsham.
What? How on earth did you rumble my disguise?
I am Death. I see all.
I thought the Red Death brought plague, not revelations.
Quite so, Monsieur Richard.
Saw through yours too.
Tell me. Have you seen a girl in a black domino costume?
Not that I recall. Why, were you contemplating getting her alone for a little game?
There was a boy in a white domino costume. A delicate figure, perhaps, but hardly feminine.
A boy? Where did he go?
I really have no idea. Look, who are you?
Gentlemen, you must excuse
me. Oh, hold up a minute, old chap.
Get your hands off me.
Extraordinary behaviour. I must consult the guest list.
His hand, Richard. Did you see his hand? It was cold and clammy and bony. It was the hand of Death himself.
Christine.
You weren't followed.
Followed? What are you talking about?
The Red Death stalks the ballroom. If he discovers us together, it will all be over.
The Red Death? So that's his costume, is it? Wait here.
What are you doing?
I'm going out there to unmask him, that good genius who hides his face. The Phantom of Peros, the Red Death, the Angel of Music. So many names, so many disguises.
Raoul, please. In the name of our love, don't go out there.
Our love? You mean yours and his? My brother was right. To think I was contemplating shackling my name to an opera wench such as you.
One day... you will beg my pardon for those words, Raoul. And when you do, I shall forgive you.
If I don't die of shame beforehand.
No, Raoul. You must live.
That's what I came to tell you. Forget me and live.
Christine, what is this farce?
Farce? This is a tragedy. Goodbye, Raoul.
Where are you going?
Away.
Back to him, you mean? Well, goodbye, Mademoiselle Daye. Perhaps we'll see each other at the Bois one evening. Or maybe I'll come and hear you perform.
I shall never sing again.
Angel of music, I'm going to find you. And when I do, I'll kill you. I know exactly where to look for you too. Anyone here? Good, that makes it easier. Behind the clothes rail, I think. A more dramatic entrance than springing from a laundry basket. Right on cue, Christine. As always.
My poor Eric. I'm so sorry.
Eric?
I'm here, Eric. I am ready.
Eric?
Approach the mirror, my child. Look into its depths.
Christine! Where are you? Christine?
Sorry for the delay. I was stuffing a capon. Oh, it's you.
Good morning, Adele. Is your mistress in? I have something vital to tell her.
Of course she's in. Can't go out with legs like hers now, can she?
Excellent. I must speak to her at once.
Oi! You can't see her! She's already got a visitor! Always in a hurry, that man.
Honestly, Adele, how many times must I tell you? Don't knock, just enter.
Christine's gone missing, Mama Valerius. She... Christine?
Hello, Raoul.
Missing? What nonsense! Her good genius has given her the morning off.
Please, Mama, don't let us talk of the Angel of Music before the Vicomte.
And why is that, Christine? Because there is no Angel of Music, that's why.
What rot! Who, then, has been giving her lessons these last 3 months?
An imposter who has been abusing her faith, Madame Valerius. Some villain by the name of Eric.
Eric?
How did you learn his name?
See? She admits it.
Raoul, promise me you'll never speak his name again. Please.
I promise nothing. Christine, I must know where you've been these last 12 hours.
There is only one man alive who has the right to demand an account of me. My husband. Well, I don't have a husband. Nor ever will.
Christine, what are you saying?
No husband, you say? Then why do you wear a wedding ring?
Is this true?
It's hidden by her glove. But I felt it last night when she held my hands and begged me not to confront her lover.
It's not a wedding ring. It's a present.
That ring is a promise, Christine. Last night you honored that promise and went off with this Eric.
Have you been listening at my dressing room door again?
No. This time I was actually inside the dressing room.
What?
Hidden behind the clothes rail. I heard his voice, Christine. If I'd had my wits about me, I'd have leapt out and crushed the miserable worm.
Are you mad? Do you wish to be killed?
Your concern is touching.
Raoul, please, forget the voice. Forget the name of the man who owns it. You must never try to fathom the mystery of that voice. Never.
Why? Is it so terrible a mystery?
There is no more awful mystery on this earth. Raoul, swear to me that you will never again enter my dressing room unless I send for you.
Only if you swear to send for me. I can't live without you, Christine.
Very well. I swear it. Meet me tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. But not in my dressing room, on the stage. Now promise me you won't try to seek out the owner of that voice.
I promise. Until tomorrow, Christine. Goodbye, Mama Valerius.
May the Lord protect you, Raoul. For if anything happens to me, Christine, he is your only protection in this cruel world.
Monsieur le Vicomte.
I'm sorry. I'd imagine the stage would be empty at this time in the morning.
Not an unreasonable assumption.
Wrong, nonetheless. Forgive me, I don't recall our having met before.
I did not mean to startle you, monsieur. I merely wanted to tell you that I know that you are not alone. If ever you have need of me, I shall be there.
Need of you? What are you talking about? And what do you know?
But here is Mademoiselle Daae. We shall talk further another time. Salaamu alaikum. Until we meet again.
No, please, wait!
I heard voices, Raoul. Who are you talking to?
The strangest man. Small, dark-skinned, and with the most astonishing astrakhan hat.
The Persian.
The Persian?
They say he's been here since the opera house was built.
What does he do?
No one knows. Just as no one knows his real name. He is great friends with Madame Giry, but seldom speaks to anyone else. What did he say to you?
Nothing. Nonsense.
You are being evasive. If we are going to talk in riddles or quarrel again, I shall return to my dressing room.
You still wear his ring, I see.
He knows about you, Raoul.
Let him face me, then. Or are you too much of a coward, Eric?
I told you not to mention his name.
There's no danger in a name. Eric! See? What the devil?
The trapdoors! It's him! Run for the ladder! This way, across the rope bridge.
He lives in the cellars, does he? The trapdoor lover?
Everything that is underground belongs to him.
Christine, whatever hold this man has over you, we can break it.
You don't know him. He's a demon.
Then why do you return to him?
He loves me, Raoul. I know he's a monster, but his heart is so great. When I first looked into his eyes, I saw tears streaming down his face. I pity him, Raoul.
Are you certain it's pity, Christine? Not love?
Can the two be separated? No, Raoul. I think you know whom I love.
Then let's leave this place. We could catch a train. To the north, perhaps. To your homeland. I've never been to Sweden. Will you marry me, Christine Daae?
Raoul,
I won't let him harm you. I promise. Let's leave, now!
Tomorrow night, after the performance.
Why not now?
I made a promise, Raoul. I swore to sing for him tomorrow night.
God will forgive you for breaking that oath.
But others may not. He loves me, Raoul, and he'll go mad if I betray him. There's no knowing what he'll do in his rage. Come! We must climb higher, to Apollo's lyre itself. Just a little further. We're here. Apollo's lyre. We'll be safe here.
Is it entirely appropriate to sit beneath a statue of a naked man?
He's a god, not a man. They don't count.
Well, at least his female companions have some sense of decency.
That's the muse of music on the left, and poetry on the right.
Spend a lot of time up here with your stone friends, do you?
I like the view.
It's certainly impressive, I'll grant you that. It must be the tallest thing in Paris.
Third, actually. After Notre Dame and the Dôme des Invalides. You can see it over there, glinting in the sun like a mirror.
A mirror? Christine, what happened to you the night of the masked ball? The night you vanished before my eyes?
He took me. For months I'd only heard his voice.
pure and wonderful, seeping through the walls. At first, I couldn't work out where it was coming from. I told Mama Valerius about it, and she said, "It must be the angel of music your father promised to send you. Ask it."
I bet he jumped at the chance to be an angel.
He did. And from that day forth, the voice and I became great friends. Each morning, he would give me lessons, and my singing steadily improved. But he swore me to secrecy, so no one knew anything about it until the night of the gala performance of Faust, when Carlotta's accident gave me the chance to step into her shoes, to sing as I had never sung before.
I remember. You were sublime. You collapsed and I came to your dressing room, but you wouldn't see me.
Christine, it's me, Raoul. Your guard dog here won't let me pass. Do call her off.
I know no Raoul. Send him away, Madame Giry.
It was awful of me, but I couldn't let the voice know about you. He was listening behind the mirror in my dressing room. He found out anyway. There's no deceiving the voice. And his jealousy was towering. Unreasoned.
I told you. If ever you bestow your heart here on earth, I shall return to heaven. And nevermore shall you hear the angel of music.
But angel, Raoul is just a friend. A playmate from my childhood.
Why then did you attempt to hide him from me? Why did you deny you knew him?
I don't know.
You don't believe I am the angel of music, do you? Very well. I shall prove it to you. When we meet at your father's tomb in Paros, I shall bring him back from the dead. Yes, Christine, you will hear your father playing his violin, just as he did when you were a child. Then you will know I am his emissary, and you will not stray from me again.
And that is precisely what happened. You were there, Raoul. You heard for yourself my father's violin playing the resurrection of Lazarus.
It was a trick.
Nevertheless, I believed it. And continued to believe it. Until the night when Carlotta croaked like a toad on stage. When the chandelier fell, my first thought was for you, Raoul. But I had seen you sitting beside your brother in the Grand Tier, so I knew you were safe. My second thought, I am ashamed to admit it, was for the voice. He had told me he would be attending the performance that evening, and I was worried that he'd been injured. So I rushed down to my dressing room and called to him. Angel? Angel, are you all right? Speak to me, please. You can't be dead. You can't be.
If you believe in me, follow my voice.
And I followed him, Raoul. I stood before the mirror in my dressing room, and the walls seemed to move and lengthen. And the next thing I knew, I was in a dark passage. I was frightened. Suddenly, a hand was laid upon my arm. A cold, hard, bony hand. Before I could scream out, another hand closed over my mouth. I felt it on my skin, my lips. It smelt of death. I fainted. When I came to, I found myself slumped across a saddle. I was riding César, the white horse stolen from Lachenel's stable. As I looked up from the spotless white mane of César to the inky black of my abductor's cloak, it suddenly struck me. In a flash, I knew the identity of the voice. Lachenel had told me the name of the thief who had spirited away César. It was the same fiend who now abducted me. The opera ghost! I tried to scream out, but nothing would come. It wasn't until later that I discovered I had been drugged. At the time, I thought it was witchcraft. The rest of that nightmarish journey I only recall dimly. We were descending, passing down through the labyrinth of cellars beneath the opera house. They say the cellars are large enough to house an entire town. At one point, I thought I saw demons shoveling bones into the gaping red maws of huge furnaces. And onward we went, still lower and lower, down a vast spiral staircase into the bowels of the earth, until eventually we were at the shores of an underground lake. There, the ghost lifted me from the saddle with his bony arms and carried me into a boat, which he rowed across the dark surface of the lake. Oh, Raoul. It was like the river of the dead. And he was Charon, the ferryman, delivering me into hell. Eventually, we reached the farther shore. The ghost carried me up the little beach, and then I was blinded by dazzling light. Flowers. Thousands of flowers.
All for you. Don't be afraid. You are in no danger.
Who are you? Take off that black mask and show me your face.
No.
Well, if you will not remove it, I shall.
Christine, I'm sorry. Please, please forgive me.
How can one forgive an angel?
You're angry. I understand. It's true, I am not your angel of music, your good genius. But neither am I a ghost. I am a man, Christine. My name, if you must have it, is Eric.
Did you hear that?
It was nothing. The wind.
Storm's coming. We should go below.
No, finish the story first. Tell me what happened next. Christine, you were missing for nearly a fortnight.
I was with him. Eric. In his underground palace. He fed me, sang to me, told me he loved me, implored me to stay with him. I knew if ever I was to escape, I would have to gain his trust. And so I stayed and talked and sang for him. Eventually, he trusted me enough to show me his private music room.
This is where I come to play the violin or compose on the organ. Sometimes I sleep in here too. See?
In a coffin?
It's good to prepare oneself for everything.
What are you composing at the moment?
My masterpiece. An opera I've been working on for 20 years. Don Juan Triumphant. In less than a week, it will be completed.
Play me something from it.
Do not ask that of me. To hear this music would destroy you.
Destroy me? What do you mean, Eric?
There is a certain kind of music that consumes all who come into contact with it, Christine. It eats like acid into their very souls. It burns with a terrible, purifying fire. You're too young and too innocent for such horrors. I shall play you something else. Something from Otello, perhaps. Sing, my Desdemona. Sing to your black-faced lover.
And as I was singing, Raoul, a terrible urge overtook me. I had to see the face beneath that black mask. I had to. And with a movement I was utterly unable to control, I reached forward and ripped it from his face.
No! No!
In The Phantom of the Opera by Gaston Leroux, Madame Giry was played by Anna Massey, The Phantom by Peter Guinness, The Persian by Alexander Siddique, and Raoul by James Darcy. Helen Goldwyn played Christine, Nick Brimble, Philippe, Tony Millen, Monsieur Moncharmin, and Richard Earle, Monsieur Richard. Madame Valerius was played by Geraldine Newman, and Adele by Nicola Weeks. Christine was sung by Linda Richardson, and The Phantom by Matthew Hargreaves. The music was composed and arranged by Tim Sutton, and the solo violinist was Ruth Rogers. Sound design was by Matthew Cochran, and the executive producers were Jason Hay-Gallery and Nicholas Briggs. The Phantom of the Opera was adapted, produced, and directed by Barnaby Edwards for Big Finish Productions.